Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Here's a treat for you. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball softball showcase. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and the Fan might make a stop out to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. The big story in sports today, Scottie Scheffler arrested before his round in Louisville. At Valhalla today, before he got involved in an incident with police, the whole thing stemmed. The chaos around the course this morning was caused by a tragedy when a pedestrian, while it was still dark out in the morning, was struck by a bus and killed. And that led to the chaotic scene in which Scheffler apparently didn't go where the officers wanted him to. And that led to whatever happened after that. And it doesn't seem entirely clear what did happen after that. Scheffler's statement. Well, why don't we hear again before we get to your segment here? City Limits. Scheffler is playing. He's minus one through six. After getting arrested, he was put in handcuffs. He was put in an orange. Was that real, those photos with the orange jumpsuit?
Yeah, they were officially released photos. Mugshot.
That was just surreal, I guess, is the word here for what's happening. So, yeah, he was booked for second-degree assault of a police officer, third-degree criminal mischief, reckless driving, and disregarding traffic signals from an officer directing traffic. There seems to be some dispute about a lot of that. I have to see a lot more before I make any judgments on what happened here. But let's hear ESPN's Jeff Darlington apparently witnessed this, and this is what he said on ESPN.
Entering Valhalla Golf Club this morning, we witnessed a car pull around us that was Scottie Scheffler was in the car, to be very clear about the details here. Scottie Scheffler has been detained by police officers, placed in the back of a police vehicle in handcuffs after he tried to pull around what he believed to be security. Ended up being police officers. They told him to stop. When he didn't stop, the police officer attached himself to the vehicle. Scheffler then traveled another 10 yards before stopping the car. The police officer then grabbed at his arm, attempting to pull him out of the car before Scheffler eventually opened the door, at which point the police officer pulled Scheffler out of the car, pushed him up against the car, and immediately placed him in handcuffs. Scheffler was then walked over to the police car, placed in the back in handcuffs, very stunned about what was happening, looked toward me as he was in those handcuffs and said, "Please help me." He very clearly did not know what was happening in the situation. It moved very quickly, very rapidly, very aggressively. He was detained in that police vehicle for approximately 20 minutes. The police officers at that point did not understand that Scottie Scheffler was a golfer in the tournament, nor, of course, that he is the number one player in the world.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will hear that or see a video on social media or something and draw grand conclusions and make grand conclusions and in some cases use it for their benefit, either in you know, supporting police or ripping police and things like that. And I have to see way more and hear way more before I make up my mind as to what the heck happened here. So we're going to let that play out. I'll tell you what's happening real time as we go through the day. Bottom line is Scheffler was released, obviously. Got off the first tee at about 10, and last I checked was minus one through six. Just a bizarre, bizarre story out there. So I'll keep people updated on that, City Limits. And without further ado, a little bit of further ado, the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Why don't we get to your segment? I've been looking forward to this for weeks, months, perhaps years. You did this in the mornings with Crowley. Tell us what it is and what's going to happen, and let's go.
So the Bechtel Breakdown is a big recap of pretty much everything that's gone on in the week, and we throw in some questions as well as other historical events and stuff like that and what it dates back to. And it always starts off with that song that you look very confused to hearing. Mr. Brightside is what starts off the Bechtel's Breakdown. So here we go for the Bechtel Breakdown, May 17th, 24. So EA Sports College Football 25 is out, Joe. At least it's going to be released on July 19th, but we now know the cover athletes. Quinn Ewers of Texas, Donovan Edwards of Michigan, Travis Hunter of Colorado, and the hype video, the trailer, was officially released today as well. People have been saying that Shedeur Sanders is notably absent from being on the cover. Is this just a false media narrative that he has to be on the cover? Or does Shedeur Sanders, who Deion thinks should be the number one pick in the draft, be on the cover of the video game back for the first time in 10 plus years?
Why should he be on the cover? Is he a Heisman candidate? I don't know. Is he being looked at that? He might be, for all I know. Here's what stands out to me from what you just said, Neutron. Nobody knows who plays college sports anymore. Those three guys, if I walked from here, if I went to downtown Pittsburgh and said, here, I'll line up a thousand, if you're a sports fan, get in this line. And I read to every sports fan those three names, they might know who one of them was, or four, including Shedeur Sanders. It's even worse in college basketball, where guys leave early and nobody, who was, Edie was the best player this year after
Zach
that?
Edie, two-time player of the year.
No, nobody would have known anybody after him.
Won't even be a first-round pick, at least in the top 15.
That's what strikes me. And I don't know what the reason necessarily is in football, but the lack of recognizable star power is what stands out about the first segment of Bechtold's Breakdown. And thank you for asking, I might add.
All right, here we go. Chargers have released their schedule, as everybody did this week. And did you see how they released the schedule?
Yeah.
The Sims video, pretty much, that they put out there. Some of the highlights.
What's Sims?
It's a video game, like an animated video game.
Nobody knows what you're talking about, including me. What do you mean they put out a Sims?
I've never played The Sims, but it's like a real world. You could basically create a world in The Sims world.
Okay.
You know how Minecraft is with like blocks and all kind of stuff like that?
No, but they put out little videos from each team, right?
Yes, each team. Some of the highlights were the Chiefs were at the Pat McAfee court, and there was a court order with everything going on with the Chiefs and Rashid Rice and obviously everything. Harrison Butker, they had him in the kitchen baking food.
I love that.
And the Steelers. Oh, this was a highlight.
Yeah.
They had George Pickens staring at the TV in his draft video with a box of Jager bobbleheads pushed to the corner. Russell Wilson was also packing up. There was a sign that said, "We do not care." Remember Tomlin said that at a press conference on the wall? And as soon as Russell Wilson saw Justin Fields, the Sims version, Russell Wilson started to throw a panic attack and was very upset.
What was George Pickens alleged to be doing in the video?
He was just kind of hanging out and just standing next to Russell Wilson. Do we like these schedule release videos? Are they creative? The Steelers were trying to make James Harrison laugh with their schedule release video and did a bunch of jokes about teams and stuff like that. And eventually Russell Wilson is the only one that made Debo laugh and the schedule was released.
Man, that's tough to try to make him laugh. I was at an open mic last night. I played a couple of guitar songs and one of the other guys did stand-up comedy and I thought he was funny, but that takes a lot of guts.
It does.
To get up there. Now that you mention that, what can you imagine if James Harrison was one of the people in the audience for that? What you'd be thinking and doing?
If you have to stare at James Harrison staring at you,
exactly,
looking like he's going to just absolutely crush you.
I love this. This is fun. It's creative. It's taking little shots. And, you know, as long as you don't take offense to these things, they're fun. So credit the Chargers for that.
The worst video goes to the Dolphins because they put absolutely zero effort into their video. It was 30 seconds. They had Tyreek Hill at a computer. And they claimed, you know, they're the fastest team in the NFL and everything. You know how the credits roll at the end of a movie and they go very quick and you can see John Smith was the director, Paul Zeiss was the producer. They had the schedule of the Dolphins go on and off the screen in 3 seconds. and you couldn't even read the schedule. It was gone, and they said, well, man, the Dolphins, we really are very fast. Tyreek Hill, you're very fast. And people were complaining throughout the entirety in the comments that the schedule release was so dumb, no effort involved. They probably shot it in 5 minutes and just decided to quickly have the schedule go by.
Well, that's how long they last in the playoffs every year, too. City limits. Maybe that was the idea. Go ahead.
The Giants have released their century red uniforms. They have tan pants, helmets dating back to the 20s and the 30s. So it brings back the age-old question. Should the Steelers bring back the block numbers, or would you like to see as more uniforms continue to be released and announced in alternates, the Bumblebee uniforms return for a game?
Yes.
I want to see the Bumblebees come back.
Everybody seemed to hate the Bumblebees. I loved them. Now, generally, I'm not a big fan of going back to the 1930s when Ron started covering the Steelers or other NFL teams. The sweet spot in all of sports history, in every sport for uniforms, was the 1970s, which is my wheelhouse when I grew up. That's when you had the creamsicle Tampa Bay uniforms. I could go into a number of NBA and NHL
those
uniforms.
Seattle Seahawks jerseys.
Oh, the Seattle Supersonics jerseys.
Yeah.
The Portland Trailblazers. I could go on forever.
NBA is the 90s.
The Pirates 1971 jerseys that they wore with the white ones in the World Series, all of them. So generally speaking, I don't like to go back that far, but yeah, give me the Bumblebees. Those were awesome. And I think Ben, did he not have one of his back when he had back-to-back 5 or 6 touchdown games? Didn't he shred the Ravens with the Bumblebees on? I think so.
It might have been. He had a lot of great games in the Bumblebee uniforms.
I love the Bumblebees.
And working in retail, everybody wants the Bumblebee uniforms. They've been completely discontinued. They're not even made anymore.
Really?
No.
Yeah, that's a shame. What's next?
All right, two more. I've been thinking about this one for a while.
Let me just say the fan, the 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19. Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, and break out your clubs for a great cause. May 28th, Valley Brook Country Club, Shenderovich, and Fishman hosting a golf tournament to benefit two. It's about the warrior veterans. All funds raised will go to these two individuals who served and sacrificed for our country. To participate, visit 98twinsgolf.com. Limitless.
We talked about how electrifying Paul Skeens was at the very beginning of the show in his debut. He will pitch today.
Yeah.
So in honor of Paul Skeens' first road start, if Paul Skeens threw 20 pitches right down the middle and everybody on the air, producers and hosts at the fan, stepped into the batter's box and faced 20 pitches right down the middle, who has the best chance of making contact or putting the ball in play?
Every full-time host here?
Yes.
Which would include Pony, Mueller, me, Zeiss, Clearly Doran. I mean, not that long ago, he was a professional athlete. He was an NFL player. His hand-eye coordination, all of that stuff, he would adjust and at least foul one off. The rest of us, if I walked into the batter's box and faced one pitch, I would be airlifted out of the stadium after that.
What about baseball savant Harry Callis, former baseball player?
I didn't know he was a full-time host. You said full-time workers?
Just general
producer.
All right,
well, now you're talking.
Well, we can include Myers. We can include Joel Nelson.
Harry Callis, who's the kid out in Oakland? Mason Miller,
yeah.
He throws harder than anybody in baseball, including Skeens right now. He's a closer for the A's, I think.
Waynesburg
What's
zone.
What's wrong with my neck? I have like this fat turkey gobbler. What has happened to me?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hmm. Is there exercises you can do to reduce that thing?
I'm very unaware of that, no. Do not know.
It's a very unflattering angle there. I got to change the angle on the thing. Harry Callis was a college baseball player, and he faced Mason Miller, and he said he fouled one off. Okay. All right. I'm going to go with Harry Callis fouls one off. Give him a little warm. Do we have to practice for a week here? Face a pitching machine?
Sure, you can get some warm-ups in.
All right, you give Harry a pitching machine, and Harry might even get a hit off Skeens.
I don't think that's happening.
You said their fastball's down the middle.
Right down the middle at 20. At 20
in a row
right
down the middle. Then Harry's turned on a 90-mile-an-hour before. He might be able to get a hit off Skeens.
That's fair.
Okay.
Or Crowley. Crowley have any chance? I think Malzy could foul one off.
Crowley?
No, Crowley doesn't have any chance. But I think Malzy might foul one off.
Me and Crowley would be the two airlifted out of the stadium after looking at one of the pitches.
You get beamed.
Yeah, we'd be on a stretcher on one of those hanging ladders, and they would reel us up into the helicopter.
All right, last one. Joe, the last time that the Steelers played four divisional games in a row was during the 2001 season.
Mm-hmm.
They faced the five-team AFC Central.
Yeah.
It was in the heart of the season. They played five divisional games in a row, hosting Tennessee and Baltimore, because the Titans were in that division.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, home against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then again in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Cincinnati was also in that division. What do you remember from that season? In 2001, young little Austin was not even a year old. The Penguins did not have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, or Marc-Andre Fleury. I think the quarterback was Tommy Maddox, or was that still Cordell Stewart?
I think it was Cordell Stewart and maybe a couple of other. Was that the year?
It's the year they
opened. Was the year that Cordell, was that his borderline MVP year? I thought the Steelers were pretty good that year, and I thought, and I'm not looking at a computer. Okay, I thought they opened the year by smashing the Ravens in the face. Are you looking at it? I'm not. Tell me, City Limits.
I think it was the 13-3
season. What I remember is Dan Kreider dropping Ray Lewis like a fly on a goal line play. Tell me about that year. What was their first game?
Bill Cowher was the coach, obviously.
Yeah.
They played Jacksonville and lost the first game of the year to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And then they beat Buffalo, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, and Tennessee before losing to Baltimore.
And holy then they ended horse up milk.
Beating Baltimore.
Tell me about the Bills game. Playoffs. What was the final score?
The Bills final was 20-3. Greg Williams was the coach of the Bills. They were at 0-3 after that loss.
That's why I forgot about it. All right. Thank you, City Limits. I actually enjoyed that a lot. Let's do it every Friday at noon.
We will, and we will play the music over top of it, because usually it's like an 8-minute segment on the morning show.
Yeah.
A little bit longer today. Yeah. And the texters are saying that the music should have been played, and I also felt the same way.
Yeah. Well, why didn't you?
We also list the top five songs from 2001. Would you like to hear the top five songs from 2001?
Sure.
Hanging by a Moment by Lifehouse. Mm-hmm. Fallen by Alicia Keys. All for You by Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Drops of Jupiter by Train. And I'm Real by Jennifer Lopez. Those were the top five songs in 2001 when I was only months old.
You are real. You're very real.
Thank you.
City Limits. Could you have intern Trent render an opinion on how the Bechtold breakdown went?
It needs music. It needs the music next time.
Intern Trent?
I do think it needs the music. Yeah. I think it was great, though.
Thank you.
You need the Mr. Brightside music to just, be heard throughout the entire segment.
Well, why didn't you use this? If this is part of the Bechtold breakdown.
I used it at the very beginning of the segment, but then you started talking about Scottie Scheffler, so I decided not to bring it back.
Fair. It's very fair.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.